One.
Oh, you 20 bucks.
Sorry we're late. Hi, Roger.
Jacob.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, everyone else that's on here. Hi, Kathy. You should be here. You get to see the baby if you were. Okay, welcome, Community Christian Church.
Welcome back, everybody. Are you guys ready for tonight?
Yes.
Have any of you guys read up about what's coming up next?
No.
Okay. That's a good excuse.
I just found a highlighter. Oh. I tested the highlighter came up. I didn't know I could ruin my phone too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I tried not to show you that.
Thank you. I just slid it away. I don't know how it got on there, but I know you just.
Okay, just a few reminders. We have men's and women's Bible study Saturday at 9:00.
Mm-hmm.
Be here or be triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday night, set your clocks forward. Spring forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst one. We lose an hour of sleep, or we have to get up.
More
hour.
Daylight.
My favorite one.
Amen. Me too.
So my 3 o'clock awakening. I can drive. 4 o'clock awakening becomes a 3 o'clock.
And that's when it's on the table when it passes.
It's not
this
good.
Is what we wanted to pass. It's a good one.
Spring forward, and then the following week? No, a week after that, 17th. Is another women's Bible study.
The 17th?
I can't remember.
Is that on,
sounds about right.
I don't think
the,
so.
No, the 16th is...
Sounds like
Saturday.
Every other week, right?
Yeah, Saturday. 17th is Sunday. So no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That's St. Patty's Day?
Is it the, I think it's the following week.
Oh, the 29th. Or 23rd.
I think so.
I need to get glasses.
Okay, I need
it down. I offered you my cat eyes.
And Sunday the 31st is Easter.
Woo-hoo!
And we are doing a sunrise service at 6:00, and regular service will be shifted from 10 to 9:00. And in between the two services, there will be breakfast here at church.
Awesome.
We volunteered Nick to cook breakfast. Just kidding.
I'm really craving lasagna.
Just kidding. I'll look up a breakfast one.
A breakfast lasagna?
I think that was about it.
Sounds like it is. Shall we get into the word?
Keep in mind there are two fundraisers out there. Sarah's fundraiser and Angie's fundraiser. So get a hold of them if you can help them out.
Okay.
And I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You guys ready to jump into the word?
Yes. Do you want me to learn about the meal train?
Word. Oh, yeah, there's also a meal train if you guys want to jump in on that.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
I believe it was sent in the prayer chain or something like that.
I don't know how to do it.
Well, someone who is.
Because
I don't have it anymore.
Okay, so yes. Help me with it today before I leave, please. I don't know. I saw it and I said, well, I just want to make sure it's done right. I don't know my phone too well. So if you got to send it somewhere from the bank or whatever, just help me do it and that's it.
My friend set it up, so I didn't
know. Is that who the bishop is?
The bishop?
That's what it says.
That's one of his last names.
Oh, so you're I'm like, who is this bishop?
Okay.
One of his last names. I think he has like three of them.
Okay. Then it's okay that I smiled when I saw him, like a bishop. Okay.
Yeah. I think it was mainly for the just like if you guys wanted to bring us a meal or something like that.
It's all on there. But yeah, it's really well done.
Okay.
Let's see the calendar.
Okay. Awesome.
Oh, okay. I didn't see. I didn't go into it.
Yeah,
I
go all the way in there because you can pick a day to go up, take food. You can I selected Uber or
Oh, that's excellent. I didn't, you know, I didn't go into it because I don't.
Yeah, the way it's like set up is like it shows a donation first, and I'm not really like stoked for the donation part because that means I have to write more off on my taxes because they always hit me hard.
Okay. Okay.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
You got a deduction.
Amen. Amen. You do. Yes.
Sounds like I further went into the hole.
Child tax credits in California
yep.
is pretty good.
Yep.
Really pretty good.
Yep.
You'll be.
We just
26
lost
years of that time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
With that being said, let us pray. Yes.
Amen. Please.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this beautiful church, Lord. We thank you for that you brought us all together so that we could grow as a family, Lord, spending time with you and learning your values and putting into practice, Lord. We ask that in this time of dwelling in your word, Lord, that you forgive us for our sins. That you show us what the word really says and help remind us that we can put this into our hearts, Lord. Bless the study ahead in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 We are at Mark 11:27.
Yes.
Cool.
That was
27.
In the world.
That's cool. Yeah, where are we going, Jacob?
Yeah. We're on it.
That's your out?
No. You got it. I believe in you. Close. One of the first. One of the firsts.
He's trying to help.
I know.
Curse group.
Curse group.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, boy. Who believed in you?
Somebody's missing Matt.
Amen.
Oh.
You want to read it for us?
I'm sure.
13:13.
He really didn't want to.
I know.
Oh, I did.
He's like, no, I actually had to pull up because of that. So he said, now these things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
And why do we go there every day? Every buzz.
To remember what we're actually trying to study about is faith. To be able to understand what we're reading. Hope, because God gives us hope every day, and love for one another, love your neighbor.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to find in the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
All those three things. Perfect. Are we all in accordance?
Yes.
Sweet.
Amen.
We're unified. Now we can jump in the word. Yes.
Amen.
We're all in a
yes.
Honda.
Oh,
That's the old joke.
That's the old joke. They talked about a Honda in the Bible because they were in one accord.
Oh, that is really. Okay.
Love it. I'm writing that one down.
Or Rebecca smoked. She lit off her camel. She jumped off of her camel,
yes.
But it said lit off her camel.
If you guys have not been able to keep up with us so far, our studies are on Facebook, and we also have the podcast on basically everything you can
think of. So if you guys want to catch up, if you haven't been here the whole time, you can always go backwards.
Backwards in time.
We're on this podcast.
Spotify,
Apple Music,
or no, Apple Podcasts,
yeah.
Google Podcasts.
Google is not YouTube.
Is it under CC?
Amazon.
Don't go to YouTube.
Is it under our church
like,
label?
No, he set me up.
Or
good.
you would go to a podcast app, and from there you would search the church, right?
If you really
yeah, just put CC.
Go to our website, it's on there.
Yeah.
Is it in your normal app section?
Do you have a normal app?
Yeah, but app section on.
So you have like an Android, right? So you should have Google Podcasts on there somewhere.
Okay, probably under my big one of them Google signs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you go to our website, you go in the top right hand corner. If you're on desktop, there's going to be a thing called Podcast. You can click that and I'll say Google Bible Studies. You click on that, you'll be able to click whichever one you want to go to.
Oh, cool.
If you're on phone, there'll be a menu.
So, yeah, you could go straight to the church website and there's a shortcut.
Really?
Because
I'm the devil with Google following and everything.
They're going to follow it anyways.
They're going to
Everyone else will catch up, but they're going to do it too.
Okay.
You have to make
it going to this eventually.
No.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
That's why they don't allow you to pull the batteries out of your phone anymore, so you can be tracked.
Mm-hmm. There's actually phones that have made now that have kill switches so you can pull stuff out now. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They
can't
even listen when it's off.
What do you do? That's when you
like
it
that. They're just making
better.
Money off that boringness. So that's what,
oh, okay.
They're making a ton of money.
Really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get it more excited.
If you're not wanting to get tracked, call, get the new phone. It has just a bare minimum.
Yeah.
No apps, nothing. They only have
27.
So here we go.
The trackers,
yeah.
Nope.
We are at Mark
11.
27. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
It says, they arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you authority to do this? Jesus replied, I'll ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me. They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, they feared people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things.
Yes.
Answer them with what they just said.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, huh? What'd you guys get from that?
They believe
I think that they were still mad from him flipping the tables.
Probably.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you took the money out of their pockets.
Jesus, being
mm-hmm.
smart off.
Think of it on today. We'd be mad too, right?
It's funny though.
And that's why they were asking him, by what authority are you doing all this? Like, who gave you
right
authority to do
this? Yeah, because they're in the temple still, right? You know what's crazy? Is that all the different types of teachings of the Jewish at the time were all in that one place. You know, the Sadducees, the elders.
It says the scribes.
Yeah, the scribes.
All from that
the
one?
They were all in that one
oh,
place.
No.
Wow.
Oh, that's the way Jesus put it.
And they quarrel among each other, right?
Hypocrites.
The scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites. Well, that's the way he put it in the Beatitudes. You know what's really cool, too, is that, like, and this is us, too, like, Pastor Matt says it all the time. People come to him with questions, and they already know the answer. And these people already knew the answer. They already knew the answer. And you know, even when they were reasoning it, they knew the answer. It shows they knew. But yet, and that's why Jesus ain't gonna play games with you. You know, it's like, you're gonna ask me something you already know? Here, then let me bring it out of you. And if you don't wanna tell me, fine.
Yeah.
You can't fool God. He knows your heart, and he already knows they knew, you know. It's yeah. So it's pretty powerful when you look at these things and see him, that you see his authority. You see his is another word I'm looking for, but I'm kind of losing it. But you can see his omnipotence, that's omnipotent is all knowing, no, is that all powerful? All knowing. Omniscient. There's three. Anyway.
Omnipresence. Everywhere and anywhere all at once.
So anyway, but he knows. He already knows. And that's the whole point here. He knows. And that's why he's not going to play the games with them. You know, we saw it before, you know, I thought we were there. Whose inscription's on it? Is it lawful to pay taxes? And he says,
render
whose inscription's
Caesar's,
on
Caesar's,
it?
Render yep. to
render
God,
to
what
Caesar.
Is God's?
Yep. And that's, you know, he's not going to play games with it, but he's also going to bring it out of people. You know, that's the powerful thing. He's going to bring it out of you. And that's how he works.
Sorry.
That's so funny.
What did I do? I got something.
I was going to say, he had to have known that they weren't going to answer him, right?
Somebody's
like, he had to have known that they weren't going to answer him, so he was, like you said, trying to bring it out of them and...
Absolutely.
Get them to, like... Well, because the way I see it is, like, one of two things, right? Either they were going to be persecuted in that moment for agreeing with Jesus that John's baptism was for heaven, or they were going to, like... automatically persecute Jesus and turn the crowd against him, which they knew wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Which also I feel like is why he was so short with him, because again, it's his appointed time. It's his time to go to the cross when he says it's time, you know?
Right.
So he wasn't, like, I feel like he just wasn't going to play games with them regardless. Like, if it was today or the next day, it's not until, like you said, we just discussed.
Right, yeah, and we already know that it's his time. He mm-hmm. he came into Jerusalem on the donkey, mm-hmm. and this was the time. Mm-hmm. This was his time, and so now it's that's where he's at in his ministry now. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty powerful because you see a whole shift in gears in his ministry. Then he's no longer telling people don't tell anyone mm-hmm. or keep it to yourself.
I feel like they've asked him before, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so by this point, it just kind of shows like his sternness and being done with the games. You know,
yeah.
Like Jacob had brought up like the narrative switches from, what was it, from learning to teaching?
Yeah, it was like at first it was like a loving message, and then it turned into an instruction message mm-hmm. where everything was...
a command.
Yeah, it was like the things that they would do, they would be instructed that they were doing them wrong, mm-hmm. right? And this is how you're supposed to do them. It was more strict and more for the person who was already accepted, right?
Mm-hmm. And he did it all the time. I mean, it's like, you know, they're like, show us a miracle and we'll believe. You know, he's mm-hmm. going, no miracles are going to be performed here. If the things you seen me do were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have turned. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen these things. You know the scriptures. You've seen what was just happened. You know, coming into town on a donkey. You know this was prophesied. You know the dead arise. You know, the deaf are here. The blind receive their sight. You know the miracles. And you know the prophecies. And here I am doing it. You know that there was going to be a prophet come before me and pave the way. You guys know. Mm-hmm. There is no excuses. And it's the same today. People know. People know. And they're not so much in denial. They just don't want to give up. They think they got to give up all this stuff, but it's really
they have to learn to love God more than their sin. I was telling Mike.
Absolutely.
And I said, in my walk, you guys have heard, I feared God. Okay? Then I learned to love him. But the love I had, I learned, was I would not sin because I couldn't carry the consequences. And then I learned, no, it's not even that. I need to love God more than the sin.
Right. Absolutely. Because God's not one sitting on this throne with a big whipping stick ready to, oh, now you did it. You know, he's not like that.
No, nope.
He loves us.
He just
us.
Wants to be first in your life.
He loves
he
us, and
clear.
We fail him over and over and over. And he's still, come on, get up. Come on, I'm here for you. Come on, I'll carry you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful.
Amen.
And then then you just have, like, you know, people just want what they can get from God. And if they don't get what they want from God, then they don't want no parts of it.
Yeah.
It's a one-way street.
Great.
Yeah.
We are it's miracles like a, in itself when he lets us live.
Yeah. People want to treat him like a slot machine.
We're a genie.
Jackpot!
I'm going to Laughlin. Oh, excuse me.
I have a personal genie.
But it's not like that. I mean, you know, he does pour out blessings on us and good things, but also, there's things that hit us that he allows too, because we don't tend to grow or draw closer unless a hardship hits us.
Uh-huh.
You know, I used to think the more I read, the more I spent time in prayer, the more I stayed closer to him, the less I'd have to endure hard things. You know, and so I made sure I read for every day, and I prayed, and you know, and thinking, yeah, this is gonna keep me from enduring, because I always had the, you know, because God is kind of this way too. Okay, you're not gonna learn this the easy way, so we're gonna have to deal with the hard way, but yet you're still not gonna bypass trials or tribulations.
Yeah.
But you learn to welcome them when they come, mm-hmm. because you know God's working in your life.
Mm-hmm. You can never go, this is what I was telling Jackie this morning, mm-hmm. you can't go through a back door, you can't go through a side
no.
door, you mm-hmm. have to go through it.
Yep.
You have to.
Yep, you have to go through the
and
gate.
It's going to be your attitude which dictates how it's going to be. If you have a bad attitude, it's going to be a temptation then.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You just shoot my heart out.
Could you guys tell where the teachers of all where their hearts were at? Could you tell by the thought process they went through? Could you tell where they were at?
It's like jealousy.
They were in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they thought that they were better than Jesus.
Yeah, my studies.
So they wanted
else,
to know, like, how are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Or what about the part where they reasoned after the question?
Oh, yeah, they were, yeah, you're right.
They feared the people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they feared the people, right?
Mm-hmm. They feared
that's going to come up in the next couple of stories, too.
Yeah.
And he used that against them.
Yeah.
To be like, see if you'll tell the truth or you care about what they think about you. And they did, that's why they said, well, we don't know. They didn't know what they thought, you know?
Because if it was
they wouldn't
truth.
Say it because they were scared of the people looking at them and their opinions.
Right, right.
Exactly. And it's not a fear of the people, it's a fear of losing their position
yeah.
when the people find out.
Right, because if it's truth, you're going to defend it, right?
Yeah, you're going to stay, when you believe in it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
But they thought more of man and what man thought about them.
And their high position,
anything.
Their authority,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they have people bringing food to them, sacrifices and money and taking care of all their needs. And all they got to do is slap some scriptures and authority down on people. And, look, he's coming, make way. You know, that their life's been paved before them. They're honored as high people, and they'll lose that place of honor. You know, and so that's what they feared.
Mm-hmm.
And that, no, you can't do this. It's going to be my way. You know, people under
so
their
So they
thumb.
Lorded and they were like dictators and they lorded
mm-hmm.
themselves over people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they knew where the power actually was. It was in the people.
Yeah.
It's just the people allowed them to do those things over them.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said it, that they had the keys to the kingdom, but they would not give them away.
Right. They wouldn't enter themselves either.
Yeah.
You say you set the kingdom in men's faces. But you yourself are not going to enter.
Right.
And it's crazy.
Yeah. And we read about the money changers, the turning over the tables. You know what was going on in the market, or in the temple. That people would bring their offerings, their doves and stuff, and they were literally being told, this has a blemish, it's not good enough, you need to buy one of ours. And they're charging them for these sacrifices. Right, so they're making money off of them, and I'm sure they were charging a little more because these are pure,
mm-hmm.
unblemished ones. So you got to pay a premium for.
Did that happen now today, churches?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Happen now today at churches.
I was just telling
that's
my brother
example.
About that. The money changers, because he's read nothing
absolutely.
Of the New Testament.
Absolutely.
So when I brought it up to him, he was like,
what is going on? Because he's read through Leviticus right. and all of that. So he, like, knows the rules of the temple and what's supposed to be right. there and not be there. And so he was like, what in the heck? And I was like, dude, you have to start reading the New Testament. But we started talking about how, like, in the Old Testament that, like, God was like, no, if you can't afford to bring me this, then bring me this. You know, right. and, like, it started to, like, just so there was a way to get to
yeah,
the
there
priest.
There was always a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To
when
get
you read the Leviticus.
Yeah.
Always a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, like, what it went to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because, like, when the law was originally given, they understood it from where their hearts, and as it was passed down to the next generation, it's like... Matt says it all the time. It's like the things that you hated about when you were being disciplined, you're not gonna do the same way to the kid next, like on your
yeah.
when you're raising a
change.
Kid, right? But now they're gonna be more lenient in that thing as well. So it's gonna get worse as it gets generation
right.
down, generation down, generation down. And it was the same thing that happened with this law, and it turned in from the heart into legalism,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they were taught more that the it was about the law instead of where your heart was at, right?
You can't use your money. You have to use the temple coins. And there's an exchange and a charge for it. They were making a lot of money off of people. The money changers, that's what it was about.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what that was all about. And that's why he turned them tables over. He said, this is God's house, and you made it a den of thieves. You know, they knew what they were doing wrong, but they had a good little business there, and they didn't want to upset that.
No.
To never go to the
wow.
Crazy.
What I was going to say is, when you look back on that, also, where is the temple? Because it wasn't just the physical temple he was doing that to. He was trying to uproar their hearts, too, because
mm-hmm.
they were doing the same things in their hearts.
Mm. Well, this is a representation of the temple, right? Like, the same thing today. Right, we have all these different kind of denominations of teaching, and they all go to Christ for their sins, right? And then when the true authority comes in, you can see where people latch back at it, right? And they'll question it, and that's what I think is the most beautiful thing that is done here, is the way that when Jesus was questioned, is the way he asked the question back. It wasn't like, you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
Let me get you to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was.
He did that a lot, though. You know,
right, and that's how we should.
Think.
That's how, like, if someone, like, we're all on a different walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all on a different walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people are further along than others,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing wrong with that, right? The Lord's going to get us to where we need to be when due time, right? So when a brother comes to you quarreling about the word, right? We shouldn't go after them as if they're wrong.
Right.
We should get them to think about it, right? And if you're wrong and you don't realize it, that brother's gonna do the same thing to you. He's gonna be like, well, what do you think about this then? Right? And
yes.
and it doesn't turn to quarrel things, it turns into a unification because
right.
at the end of it you're both trying to learn what the word of God is actually saying. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not nobody's right. It's what the word says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it goes back to Corinthians. It's got to be done in love.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be done in love.
I think that was like the most beautiful process of that is because the way that they even answered the question themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they started off with the right answer.
Like,
well, if it's from heaven, then we're going to be questioning his authority. But if at the same point. If we say it's from man, well then they're going to be in an uproar because of John.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want to accept it.
So then they lied
and
said neither.
At the end of that question,
yeah.
like when they got that final answer, well, neither will I tell you. It's like, okay, well.
Think
you guys know what the answer is. Like,
it's like forget
yeah.
this conversation ever happened.
Right here.
Pharisees are like,
yes.
we messed up. Let's go back.
Dang, you got us again.
How many times are we going to do this?
Anybody got anything else on that?
But at the same time, they were plotting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at that point right here, they were already.
Yeah, they've already
plot.
Been in the plot.
So they were
yeah.
really kind of watching what they were going to say. But they knew, they just didn't accepted it.
Yeah.
They knew. I think they knew.
Yeah, I think so.
They knew who he was. In fact, they knew.
Yeah, there are some people
study
that...
They
Yeah, there were some people that... that brought this on because they wanted to see the true power of the Messiah. They believed the Messiah was there, but they saw it not as like a spiritual awakening. They saw it as a worldly awakening. Like, he's going to sit on a throne. He's going to throw the... We gotta get him to the end so he can just overthrow the Rome real quick, and then we can all live in peace, you know? Like that's how some people think. Like, it's happening today, too.
Yeah.
Some people are trying to get the book of Revelation to happen today, so that the Lord can come back, and you're like, dude, you're on the wrong side of that. Like, come on, bro.
Yes.
Not let it happen.
Look at the signs, man.
And we just read it earlier in chapter 11 at verse, I think that's 18. It says, the chief priests and teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching.
What, didn't he just kill a blind person?
That was right after he turned over the tables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did kill a blind person.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
That was like the turning stone of, okay, the time is the end.
Yeah.
This is the end. The time is nigh. Right?
Yeah.
The doors, right?
I just turned into songs. I'm sorry. I have a cool thing to do on that bass.
Wasn't that an Apocalypse Now?
It's in a lot of things.
And that's something I'm learning too, you know? I have learned that, you know, God is love and He is love, but now I'm starting to learn what a father's love truly is.
Right.
A father's love. And he does not want his children to stray in the wrong ways, and he will do what he needs to do to bring them back to the right path.
Right. Yeah, it's a discipline.
Mm-hmm. It's a I like to say he chastises.
Yeah. It's a discipline, and like, it's more of a disappointment.
Thank you.
And when you go the wrong route, because he's trying to teach us to be more like him, right? Because we're in this grace period. Right before, there was no grace period, so it was like, okay, you did this, sucks to suck, bro, you know.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And then now that we're in this grace period, Paul talks about it. It's a place to overcome our sin, not to dwell in our sin.
Right.
Yes.
And so when we do sin, it's a disappointment, and that walk of repentance is us recognizing that oh no, like what we went over on Tuesday. It's like, oh, forgive me, Lord, I messed up again. Let me try again. You know, that's that walk that the Lord wants us to be in, right? Because it's just disappointment right now, right? There's still time for us to get closer to God, right? And not walk away from Him. Because once we stop repenting, then we've gone off the good fruit, right?
We've gone off the deep end.
Well, that's where pride sets in. If you don't think you have to repent,
mm-hmm.
then you have all that pride in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what.
Yes.
And that's why exactly the question of the baptism was brought up, is because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, okay.
It was you have to repent, right?
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus was baptized too, is because he was in accordance with that to show. And John the Baptizer was like, well, I'm not going to baptize you, but he's like, let this happen. This is what it has to be, you know?
Yeah.
This is what the prophets...
I need to be baptized by you, not
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's like, I'm not even worthy to tie your sandals.
Right,
right, exactly. But it was that baptism of repentance that was in the agreement. So for you to get the baptism, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to have that baptism of repentance, you know? Not physically, like, walk by water, but, like, in that role of thinking, like, I have to repent,
right.
I have to repent, I
yeah.
have to repent. And then the Holy Spirit can help you. You can't be in your sin and have the Holy Spirit speak to you. You're just going to think like the world, you know?
Is that why they prayed that little prayer, hallowed be my name?
Yep, exactly.
Come.
Let's go.
I mean, because it's, mm-hmm. we have to, every day, right?
Yeah, it's a constant
it's
walk.
It's a constant walk sin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love, if you haven't seen the video, I would recommend looking it up. It's kind of cool how Chris Christopherson came to know the Lord. They were asking him how he wrote the song, Why Me? If you ever heard that song, it's beautiful. Why me, Lord? I'm not deserving, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, but I'm not deserving of anything you've given me or the blessings you've shown. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. All you've given me, I've wasted it. You know, and when he they asked him how he did that, well, he played a concert, and then the next day this lady takes him to church. And so he's explaining it because he really hadn't gone to a lot of church, and he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't speak Christianese, you know, but he's saying, you know, the pastor's saying, if anyone needs, you know, and he goes, oh, I'm never going to raise my hand. And as he's saying that, he found his hand going up. He's like, wait a minute. And then talking about, well, people need to come forward and confess. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm never going up, as he finds himself walking forward. And he found himself asking for forgiveness for things he didn't even know he needed forgiveness for. Wow. You know, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's that baptism of repentance, is realizing, man, I've missed the mark. I've fallen short. I can't do this. And you know, I need a Savior. You know, that's that baptism of repentance. It's beautiful because it hurts going through it, but it's so releasing because you just get freed of all of it.
Yeah, and that's why the people loved it, is because it was such in tune with what the Torah was. Like, it's like in tune of like what we're supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for the Messiah, so they're like, man, this guy's got to be a prophet.
No. Why did everybody think that he was going to be a king with so much power that it was going to overpower the Romans right then and there? One that was going to
There was a veil over their face.
Because
the Bible does say
the mystery wasn't revealed until after Christ ascended to heaven.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit came down.
Right. Because the prophecies all talk about there's from the line of David, there's going to be a king, and he'll rule forever, right? But it doesn't say when that ruling's going to start, you know. And they perceived, well, when Messiah comes, that's when it's going to start. Well, you know, trying to put God in a box and outthink him.
I think,
you know, this has got to be it.
At the time and that generation and that time of era, you know, they were saying king. That's what everyone expected, a king, a king.
Yeah.
That's what I think to answer your question. But it was the veil. But then it was more than that, because he came for the poor, for the broken. And then he just gradually opened for everyone else. You know, but that's why, because at the time of the era, it was king.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of
everything was king.
Yeah, when you came for the poor and the broken, it's because those people, they already recognize that they're not doing anything right. The people who are rich are rigid in their thinking, because they're like, oh, I'm doing everything right. Look at me, I got everything. So he came for everyone. It's just when someone's got everything in line, right, and everything's great. You know, they're not going to rely on God. They're just going to be like, I've been doing this the right the whole time. You know, so they're rigid in their thought.
Yeah.
So they can't be shown like, oh no, like you can with poor people, right? Mm-hmm. Like as in people who are struggling with something.
Well, that goes with that parable,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful, the humble, and, you know, because not everyone can be humble, but God has, that's when he's pulling roots, and you're going through it because he wants you to.
Right. Everyone has the ability to surrender and be humble. It's their own choice.
Well, when you see what Christ did, and he was innocent, and how he humbled himself, and how he could have, you know, taking his place where...
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't. He was a servant to us. That is what humbles me. And he never sinned.
Right.
He never sinned. Mm-hmm. And he was humble.
Right.
And he's still going to. You know, there's two comings of Christ. you know? Mm-hmm. Actually, there's three. He was born here. That was the first time, right? Then there's the coming in the clouds when he blows the trumpet and we go up to be with him. But then the last coming, he's coming down the way, same way he left. He's descending and his feet are going to hit the Mount of Olives. And when that happens, he comes and sets up his kingdom. For 1,000 years, he is going to reign over this world.
Now, Mount Olive, is that where he was crucified?
Yep. And that's where he left. Mount of Olives.
Oh, no, that's where he...
That's where he taught.
That was where he left when he was taken.
Yeah.
Into custody, that's where he left.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, and they were sleeping... And he came down and they were all sleeping.
But if you read the very end of Matthew, it talks about while he was speaking to him at the Mount of Olives, he started going up. And then the angel said, "Why are you standing here looking? This same Christ that you saw leave is going to return the same way you saw him leave. He's going to come back the same way." And the Bible talks about it. He's going to come back and his feet are going to hit the Mount of Olives and it's going to split it.
Wow. Wow,
but
cool.
He sets up
very
his
cool.
The 1,000-year reign too, and that's when he sets up his kingdom. The first time as a lion,
yeah,
or as
that's
a lamb.
What I was gonna
first
say.
Time as a lamb. The
okay.
second
Good
time
job,
as
Paul.
A lion, ferocious.
Put you on off actor.
So no, I was just waiting.
Oh,
I was just waiting.
Where's that at now? Is that
in Jerusalem?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where you have to.
It's a hill. It's got to be really close to the city. I think
yeah.
it's just outside of the city. I've never been there, so.
I bet you Tina has.
But I know Golgotha is different. Golgotha is where he was crucified. That's Golgotha.
God will save us.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool.
Thanks for the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you run?
I was too far from my wife.
Oh,
I missed her.
Oh, how sweet.
Wait, you said that all on again?
That's
not
so
again,
cute.
Jacob. No.
This is too cute.
All right, you guys got anything else on that passage?
I think we're all good.
We're all good. Yeah.
What do you guys see there? Faith, hope, and love at all? What do you see, Tammy?
Faith. Because of faith, it comes by hearing the word.
Mm-hmm.
You see faith.
Do we really only hoping for a king?
So I didn't really understand. Did they think John the Baptist was going to be the new king, or like how was John the Baptist like?
No, the people saw him as a prophet.
But he was a prophet, wasn't he?
I would say so, I guess.
Of sorts, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. He led the Messiah, so I would say
yeah.
yeah.
Right, in the other books, he vouched for Jesus.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you would call a prophet.
Right.
You know?
And the Bible talks about him being in the very spirit of Elijah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus even said, "I tell you truthfully, Elijah has already come."
Yeah.
So Moses wasn't a disciple?
Moses was.
So why wasn't John the Baptist was a big disciple? I mean, wouldn't that be saying
prophets?
They're prophets.
So they probably didn't. So the way they reason, they reason in such a way as like a world dramatic. So, They're not focusing on God. They're focusing on what the people think.
Right.
So they're weighing their options. They're like, well, if we save him from heaven, well then, he is what he says he is. He's the Messiah. But if we don't say it, then the people are going to riot and overthrow us. Right? Like that's what like they were going to cast us out because we aren't acting like we're supposed to. Right? So what they were more concerned about is where their power was at. So. Make sense?
Yeah. So they had no faith.
They had no faith.
Wow.
I see the love.
Where at?
Yeah.
I see the love because Jesus stood up to the religious leaders for the people because they were robbing him.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I was also seeing the love another way too, is that he didn't just beat him down.
Oh yeah, that's another way too.
He, he loved those people enough to get
the fatherly discipline.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like, where he's like, I mean, with him, it's like, I'm done. Like, go ahead and continue to hurt yourself, but you know, like, you're gonna do it anyways.
There's no love.
Oh,
I know,
right?
It's a perfect example.
Yeah, exactly.
With fire.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
and that's for all of us, because what I was telling my husband, that's the only debt we have is the debt of love towards one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else before we move on?
That's what John lays out too, and this is my commandment, that you would love one another.
Mm-hmm.
That you love one another.
John got it.
Mm-hmm.
John got it good.
So why don't we need God? Oh.
We need to get it.
I know. That was the question. Why don't we got it?
So what did John have? He walked with him. So we're not walking with him is why.
Yeah.
We got to walk with him.
What's that? Him?
Mm-hmm.
Walk with me. He talks to me. Walks with me.
In the
he
garden.
Tells me
I am
zone. Yeah, something like that.
The joy we share.
That's a good day.
Sorry, I don't
just gonna make Mike, you guys don't let me sing Bible study.
Right? He speaks.
That's
because the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing.
Oh, man, people online are going to be like, who sings that song? Let them sing it.
Thank you.
There's no love there.
Amen.
No,
I was talking to myself. I was talking to myself. I promise. This is a few
Kathy,
that way. I'm sorry.
Well,
Kathy,
you
tells,
sorry.
Kathy tells me
remember
all the time.
Remember when he said that?
But God loves my voice.
And all I do is agree.
Oh my goodness.
One more note, until all your ears heard.
That was funny. I got my ears all over my
body. Laura forgot that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're all of one body, so all your ears.
Okay, yeah.
We got 25 minutes. We got time.
All
right, so I didn't mean finally.
I got an excited one.
Chapter 12, right?
Yes.
You guys ready? It's like two chapters left.
Oh my god.
Hey, this is the one. How do we know? Is there
14?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, it's 14. Oops. Guess I need to read more.
No.
Yeah,
we got
about 16.
Oh,
you're right.
In the beginning. All right. So, does anyone want to lead us, or you guys want me to read?
I like to read.
All right.
It says Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. Dude, this is one of my favorites.
Here we go.
Dude, that's
why
I said I've been waiting for
this.
This
is like so bomb, dude.
Ready? I was waiting for this one all day.
It's like
barely
in
parable.
Come on, speak with authority.
It's almost like, yeah, it's like barely in parable.
Speak to
bread. Yeah, Jacob, this
speak
is probably one of the first parables where I was like, oh, I know what this one says. So here it goes. It says, and then Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head, and he treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed.
Oh.
He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. Had one left to send a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyards to others. Haven't you read this passage of scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. All right, before anyone says anything, has anyone read this parable for the first time? All right, so... So out of you two, what do you think this parable is?
I'm just kidding. I know.
Let's read it again. So, just
we can take it one thing at a time.
I really understand it. So who did the servants kill?
The son.
No, the tenants.
The servants were beat, killed,
and then the son was killed.
You said what are tenants?
What is tenants?
It's someone that
tenant is like a renter.
So they rented someone who's renting the owner had.
Okay, so they killed the son who was inside the walls?
Uh-huh. When they came to collect.
Why did they kill the son?
Well, what do you think?
Well,
it says it in there why they wanted to kill him, right? It says they wanted to. This is the heir. We can take his inheritance if we kill him.
So he said the parable, like saying to the elders, right? So does it mean like in that context, like they know it's like the Messiah, but they want to care more about their power, like
want to
take the power?
It could. It's just that would be like making an assumption that we know exactly what they were thinking. We knew that they were after power for sure, but to see if they actually thought that this man was the Messiah or not is kind of hard to put your finger on. Because they could have just been power hungry, and they probably greedy people. We didn't even care what the Lord was saying.
I mean, at the end of the day, they killed the servants. And, I mean, John was considered a prophet, and they killed him as well. So he would be considered a servant. At some point, they would think that they would get to the son and not know it's the son and kill him, right?
So what do you think the vineyard and the wall around it represents?
What is a vineyard?
A vineyard is like a wine place.
Well, a grape.
Yeah, grape yard. I guess. Grape yard. Think of it like a farm.
think of a vineyard like a farm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why
do you think that?
They're there to kill the son. The same thing how they did it here. They killed Jesus.
So that son that was sent, do you think that...
It's replicated. What's
so the son went to heaven, is what you're saying? Okay.
No.
No?
Yeah.
No? Yeah? No? Are you unsure?
No.
I think you know.
What do you think?
You're on too.
You're doubting yourself too.
Yeah, don't doubt yourself. You're good.
Don't doubt, just believe.
I think you know. I think, like you said, though, you're having trouble wording it.
What do you think the vineyard is, Dean?
I mean, it's the world, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. The vineyard's the world, right?
Question.
God created this whole thing, put all these things in it, and then...
The evil,
there's
the enemy,
tower.
And what are the grapes?
Isn't that the people?
The sinners,
right?
Okay.
So are the tenants the enemy?
No, what are the tenants?
The flesh, the tenants work for the owner,
and the beloved son.
So who are they?
The
religious leaders.
Oh, God's people.
The religious leaders.
Yes.
So
And so the
not the tenants.
The servants.
The servants
are the prophets.
Yeah.
So if you read the Old Testament.
So the tenants are the religious leaders, though, right?
It's God's people, pretty much.
Yes,
the people who were given the law.
The people?
Right.
No.
Oh,
the
vineyards.
Okay.
Who was given the law? Who are you saying was given the law? The tenants or the servants?
The
tenants.
God's
trusted
with
them. They were trusted with
the
vineyard.
Okay, God.
Nice cheat sheet.
So it's like
they're
in
charge.
I'm
going to do my split again.
Right.
Because
they work the land. There you go.
You know,
like,
so that's the thing that confuses me is about the inheritance part.
Okay.
Because what are they inheriting?
The vineyard.
No, that I get. But like from the parable sense, what are the religious leaders gaining?
Besides Jordan.
Come on, man. My chair will not stop over here.
He keeps raising his hand.
Well, I got to raise my hand because I'm trying to
hold
back.
But the end, it says that once
just
that they
out,
died,
please.
That the owner gave it to others. It says that they gave the vineyard away to others.
I know.
So who are the others
hidden here?
Us.
Who didn't have it?
What is us?
Yeah, what is us?
It's mentioned all the time.
We're not Jews.
Children of God.
If we're not Jews, we are Gentiles.
Oh, the Gentiles. Okay.
So the religious leaders killed Jesus, the Jewish people killed Jesus, and that's how we were engrafted. Okay, get it.
So let's read it again now that we understand the parable, right? Everyone knows who the tenants are.
You
want
to say something first?
Who are the tenants
again?
We're going to read it again. And then now that we understand the parable, we'll go into more depth on it.
Okay.
Did not Jordan just give us answers?
No, he doesn't.
One thing
I noticed in Mark is it says he will come to those tenants in another gospel. The Pharisees answer it.
Oh.
Like, well, then we'll get rid of them if they kill the son, you know?
And the Pharisees at the end said, the Pharisees at the end said they knew that this was spoken against them. At the end, the Pharisees said they knew he was speaking that. No, right here.
Yeah.
Then they looked for a way to arrest him because they knew they had spoken this parable against them.
Everyone understands this parable now, right?
I think so.
Let's read it again, right?
Before you do, it's quarter till. Get your prayers in. Get your prayers in.
We'll go in depth on it.
Okay, now let's go.
All right. It says, verse 1, chapter 12. Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it and dug a pit for the winepress and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this passage of scripture? The stones of the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. What do you guys think of it now? Pretty crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty radical is what I think.
Oh, I was going to kind of go with the bomb.
Bomb? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty radical because, you know, he's the temple. He's not on the street corner, you know, just, he's like
He's in the trenches telling these people what it is. You know, because he knows his time's coming.
Yeah.
You know, he has no fear.
They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear nothing.
They didn't even see us.
They wanted their own will.
So you guys got any questions? Mm-hmm. Questions?
Oh, comment.
Comments? You got a comment? Go for it.
I like to, each time we read through this part, verse 10 and 11, have you read this passage of Scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes.
You want to explain that for us?
The stone, Jesus, has become the cornerstone. I just think that's the way I heard it. Both times we read it, it was like the stone, though. I heard Jesus, the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone.
What's a cornerstone?
Huh?
What's a cornerstone?
The basis of everything. This is the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Headstone, okay. You know what a headstone is? That's a kind of a weird way to say it, huh?
Yeah, that's for like a burial site, right?
Yeah,
I was going to say, come on.
A capstone is one.
Cornerstone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't like a cornerstone perfectly? Is a perfect stone like...
No, a cornerstone is where you build a house foundation off of. Like, if you were to build a house
perfect,
in the old days,
right?
You would dig a hole until you hit a giant rock, and then you would build your house off of that,
right.
That rock.
Nowadays,
now we just have concrete,
just to make a foundation,
a firm foundation.
But read the very end.
I wanted to read, I have one verse to read. You don't have to turn there, it's just one verse. But Joshua 24:13 says, "So I gave you a land which you did not toil, cities which you did not build, and you live in them, and
so
eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." He gave them that land, Jerusalem, and then he sent prophets to them, and they killed him. Jesus said it so powerfully, you know, how could a prophet can't even die outside of Jerusalem, because we send them to you, that's where they get killed.
Yeah.
Jerusalem is from the prophets, yeah.
It's beautiful, it's the whole history.
Yeah, he calls them out a couple times.
Because those cities were built, and then God wiped out the people in them, and gave it to them.
That was Joshua what?
Joshua 24:13.
Okay.
Yeah, that story of Joshua is them going through the promised land and taking away, or not taking away, but going through and eliminating all the existing that was there, right? So they went through the towns of where there was a bunch of debauchery and all kinds of crazy stuff and giants and, you know, things that were ungodly going on. And the Lord did all that, not them. They didn't do it. It was the Lord. Because once they took their eyes off the Lord, they started losing battles. It was the craziest thing. It was all the Lord that did everything for them.
Yeah, there's Old Testament scripture too, talks about the olive tree, and that's what God said. I planted this olive tree, and the fruit was your job, you know.
Yeah.
But I planted it.
Oh,
where is
that at?
Olive tree.
Okay, thank you.
It was Joshua 24:13. Mm-hmm. I have it right this time, just so you know.
Joshua 24,
you did the telescope
right.
Trick.
No, the other night I was telling him Luke 18, and it was actually Luke 17.
I wrote it down three times.
Luke 18, wait, this doesn't make sense.
It does. I don't understand that. You were the other one.
See, I was excited for this one. I was like, yes.
Well, then share what
go
you
ahead.
Got excited
what
for.
You got? Just tell
what
everybody.
I love is the whole thing. You look at it and you see the entire book of the Word all the way up to Jesus right there. Being said through his parable. Mm-hmm. You see the creation of the world. You see the people that he led into the tenant's hands that were supposed to be taking care of him and lead it back to the owner.
Right.
And then you also see the people that he sent to go collect it all,
right.
Which is the Pharisees. They're supposed to bring it back. They're supposed to take it
mm-hmm.
and bring it back to the Lord.
Okay.
But instead, they killed him. They beat him, and just like
mm-hmm.
you see in the Old Testament. And so then he sends the one thing that he thought they would respect, and still they killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happens. They disrespected Jesus, killed him, slaughtered him. in the same way that they did the prophets. And so what I also love is the cornerstone, right? So there's one where it says, I don't know exactly where it is, so Dad probably knows. It says that the cornerstone was placed, but it was also one that was someone would trip over and some they would accept.
Oh, we read that,
but
yeah.
The stone the builders rejected has become the chief stone.
Caused
men to stumble.
Yeah, that's some Paul. I think quotes that one exactly.
I think,
in a couple letters actually. I think it's more than one.
Yeah, I just remember it specifically in one. I just can't remember the book for some reason.
I want to say like Romans and like Corinthians or something.
Yeah, but and when you look at this, it's so amazing because the stumbling was because of your own selfish ambition.
Wow.
Like, what causes you to stumble? It's because you're thinking of yourself. And so, instead of accepting the Lord, you're sitting there so focused on yourself, it caused you to stumble. Because the Lord came to set you free, but instead you're stuck in your worldly ways and you stumble over the Lord.
Is that pride?
Yeah,
it
like
a lot of things.
Yeah,
it's trying to put down a.
It's thinking you know something that you actually don't.
Exactly.
That's what it really is.
Oh, yeah.
And
so the cornerstone became a stumbling block, right?
Yeah, because think about the way it's worded. It says the builders rejected the stone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, physically, like pretend you're building a house, right? And instead of finding, you go to a stone, you're going, no, that's not the cornerstone. We're not going to do that. And they walk away from it and build off of another stone, right? Well, then, like how the end of the Sermon on the Mount goes, those who build their house on this foundation, the weather comes, you know, that it'll last. But those who build on the sand, right, the other stones, it crumbles and falls away. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
So what the builders in that scripture are the people who reject the Messiah, because the Messiah, that stone became like cornerstone where you have to build your whole foundation off of. Like you can't build anything without going to the foundation first.
Right,
you know?
Right, yes.
So like if you reject the foundation that you're supposed to build on, everything that you build on is nothing.
Right, it'll just crumble.
That's
so
good.
It's
it might not crumble tomorrow, but in about 20 years, you know, give some time. Earth moves all time.
I can't remember the scripture that Pastor Matt read during the sermon where it was talking about, like, yeah, you have all these jewels and all these, this gold.
Oh, okay, so it's
put it up. You know, put it up against the fire of God and see what's left.
Yeah.
Let me read 1 Peter 2, Peter.
Yes.
Okay, 1 Peter what?
1 Peter 2. It says, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling, and the rock of offense.
That was 1 Peter 2, what, 7?
7 through 10.
That's what I thought I just
7
read.
7 through 10. I was trying to figure it out, but I don't have it like memo.
I had two rabbit holes, and I went to the other one first.
Well, yeah,
he's gonna help you.
Like, you know what the craziest thing is when I first read this parable, and I thought about it, like the first time I thought about this parable, you know, like I've read it a couple times.
Oh, you guys love
it. I was rebuilding the foundation of my house. I was literally jacking the house up and putting posts in, you know, and I was like. It's what stuck out is like every time Jesus would mention something about a foundation or something, I'm in the middle of it, like it's on in the background. I'm putting the post in, and I'd be like, oh, and then like I'd run into Matt. This was like before he even started coming here. I'd run into Matt. And I'd be like, well, what do you think of this parable? And he'd leave me with a question. And so like, this was one of the first ones I understood completely. Is because what I was doing, I was physically doing what they were talking about, you know? I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Wow.
You know,
God had you there for a reason.
Hands on the issue, wow.
And so can I just ask you guys, like, the cornerstone that the builders rejected now becomes a stumbling block. What does that mean to you guys?
So when you don't build on the cornerstone, things crumble. Like, it'll fall apart with due time. So that's what the stumbling part is. So you would build up your life in such a way where it wouldn't work out, right? You're doing it because you want to be a good person, or you're doing it because you think you have to work your way into heaven, stuff like that, or that the only way that you can have your sins forgiven is through sacrifice, right? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, so that stumbling block is thinking that them not having to go to Christ first is the stumbling block, yeah. Right? They think that they can just skip Christ.
Right, there's other ways to heaven.
Yeah, they could just skip Christ and just build off of that.
Right.
And then think they can get into heaven, yeah. But you need to go to the cornerstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't watch it.
Yeah.
I kind of took a long
crumble. No, it's all right.
But you did,
there.
But you went like this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
straight back to
I,
it.
I just wanted, I was just explaining it, so.
Yeah. Watch the whole life crumble and fall apart because you rejected when you called.
Okay, cool.
Crazy, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There was something about what I listened this morning.
Oh,
that
really?
Is similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were so excited.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just like taking it in. It's awesome. It is
powerful, and we kind of touched on that too. So the people that rejected, then it's given to others, and that's us. That's the Gentiles.
Oh, my favorite.
You know,
my favorite part is they understood that it was about them,
right.
Instead of turning their ways.
They were like,
let's find a way to kill this guy.
They will say.
I was like, oh my goodness, man. They were terrible. Oh my God.
Check it out. It literally became their stumbling block, too,
yeah.
Because they rejected him. And their whole world fell apart. AD 70, Rome ransacked Jerusalem and tore down the temple.
Wow.
Not one stone left upon another.
They took the gold off the walls.
70 AD.
Wow.
What happened is, so check this out. They burned the temple, right?
Who burned the temple?
Rome. They burned the temple to the ground.
Okay.
And all the gold that was in the temple melted and went through the cracks of the rocks. So they tore the rocks apart to get the gold out. So not one stone was left upon another. It's just what Jesus predicted and prophesied.
Wow.
They
wanted that.
So their whole life, it became a stumbling block because they rejected Christ.
Well, if you look back through, if you guys read the end of Exodus, it says that literally everything they were building for the temple was of pure gold. It was laid over with pure gold.
Yeah.
Everything. Even the cloth that they made had lines of gold inside weaved into it.
The Ark of the Covenant was covered with gold.
And all of it was pure,
wow.
Is what it says.
The cups, the bowls, all of it.
The lampstands, all of it was covered in pure gold. And so then when you burn all that down and all the gold's coming down, and you have this huge temple that was in gold.
If fire gets hot, so gold just turns into water.
Yeah, exactly. So like Dad said, it just seeps straight down. So of course, like them pillaging, they would go down and get as much as they can.
God, that is
of the there was an account of someone actually finding the ark, but when he came back, when he got down there, first off, two men went in and dived into the crevice, and he went in and then immediately backed out, didn't even open his eyes, just came back, and there was red stuff all over his hands and stuff. He goes back, had them analyze it, and they're like, where is this stuff? He's like, that's your God's blood.
That's a whole, yeah, it's a whole.
What were the names of the men that died?
I don't remember.
They gave names up?
I have no clue.
Yeah,
I think they did.
I haven't.
Remember what it was.
You remember that account that we looked into with
Ben?
Yeah. It was that account.
I'm very skeptical.
The guy's name was Ron Wyatt. He was an archaeologist in Jerusalem. His name was Ron Wyatt. He discovered quite a few things, but you know, is it legit or not? I don't know. But the really cool story about that is where the ark was sitting. It's supposed to be right below the crack
where right below where Jesus was crucified, and the stone split. It said the rock split, his blood dripped right down onto the Ark of the Covenant. I find that really easy to believe, because that's the sacrifice, because when they sacrificed, they used to sling the blood onto the Ark. And so, I don't know, I just see it as a beautiful picture. True or not? I don't know, but
that's just, you just made everything in Leviticus even better for me.
The guy's name's Ron Wyatt. In his sites, easily look at, you can
find it online and stuff like that.
He was also told not to disclose by the Spirit. So
on 11, where it says, "And this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes."
It's just reminding me of that.
This is the second half of it.
It's number 11.
Verse 11. What do you think?
After it says, "The stone that the builders rejected had become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes."
Mm-hmm. Well, he sent his son.
So you're saying that it's the man?
So what he did was he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. And what he did was, we're supposed to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It says that in Romans. I don't know the exact verse, but it says, "If we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And so, since Jesus is our way to get to the Lord and be before the Lord, right, he's our sacrifice. And if we believe in him, if we trust in him and make him the Lord of our life, then he's our cornerstone. The Lord has done this.
So I was saying in the parable, he's the man then, right? God is the man. It starts like my husband just
told
me.
The landowner.
Oh, yeah. I must have missed planted. The question.
No, you answered it right. I was just
Here's another way to put this whole parable too, right? God created the world, right? You were born. You were given this world, right? You live in it. You breathe. You reap from it, right? But we're just renters. We give it back when we die, right? Mm-hmm. But yet, God sends prophets. He sends Christ to die for us. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we gonna do with it? You know, and it's kind of a beautiful analogy just for each one personally. You know, like everything we have is not ours. Even your kids, they're not yours. You're a steward of them. God granted that to you to take care of and to nurture and grow and point them to God. You know, but in the end, it's still his. You know, things he gives us, money he gives us, we're called to be good stewards of it. You know, it's all on loan. And so, just got to remember that. We're called to be good stewards of what God gives us. Because it's not ours, it's just all on loan.
Yep.
I don't know, that's just a personal way of looking at it.
Okay, Jacob found it, I'm just reading it, he's busy right now. It is Romans 9:33. "As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble,
yes,
and a rock that makes them fail. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame."
Amen. That's the one.
Amen.
That's the one. Thank you, Jacob.
You're welcome.
Oh,
you finished my thought process on that.
There's a baby. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, we got a couple prayers here. Roger is asking if anyone could give him a ride to the hospital on Wednesday, March 20th at 2:30
p.m. 2:30 p.m. Let me check my schedule. I probably could. Oh, never mind. Doctor's appointment.
You're going to have a lot of them.
Never mind.
But I would if I could.
Wednesday, March 20th. So keep that in mind. Kathy said, praise report. Jacob's MRI is all clear.
Amen.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! I was going to ask you about about that, yes.
And follow-ups are moved to once a year now, so
yeah.
Twice a year.
Oh, great. Oh, Rod, Dick. Oh, that comes for hugs.
Okay, MRI has a brain scan.
Orlando's health. And I want to pray for my daughter, Victoria, and Calvin, and Kelly. For
the store.
I'm just moving with you, Calvin.
That was a mother joke.
Yeah, you know, she has two homes. She has her father, you know, he has a nice home, and then she has me, but she just wants to be with
me.
And he just wants that.
That's mama's
just home. Like we tell her, just come home now. So, okay, fine. Let's pray for housing.
Yes, yes.
Pray for housing and for. And it's in LA. They live by LAX.
And when you guys read the story, that's what you received a big tree of the temple.
Wow. Look, see? There is a burn in there.
Oh! That's taken from.
Is that too much?
Yeah. It's MRI.
I know, back. So that's my brother's locking the way out.
I'm just kidding.
No, the difference is the shot.
It's not a peanut. It's not a peanut.
You know what I'm saying? You made more. You saw the cerebellum was closed. It was losing your energy. It was already great.
Good news.
Good news.
Good
news.
Any other parents? Oh, here. Tito says. Tito just came through. So when someone builds upon men, knowledge, or teaching, representing a type of stone per se, although is the word, but focus on that men or teacher instead of the creator or maker of the stones, as say, in his or her teachings is like, I will be building my faith in that man instead of the one who teach the man or the teacher. It could show that our foundation is in men instead of God, right?
Yes, true.
Now I am all over, LOL. But yeah, you're right. People will put their foundations in men,
yeah.
or on their own pride or on their own accomplishments, and they'll fall. And the cornerstone of Christ becomes a stumbling block for them, because they'll never succeed spiritually the way God intends us to exceed unless you look to Christ. So yeah, you got that right, Tito.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen, brother.
I belong to Paul.
Understand it very well.
Peter.
Yeah.
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 Bless
you,
man. Very well.
Bless you.
First Corinthians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me, sick?
God.
Pray for me and the child. Pray for me and the child.
What, that you won't break his neck? You won't.
Where's the tissue?
It was a joke.
Cover up real good. I know.
Thank you. Here, let me hold. Okay, go ahead.
Somebody shun. Any other prayers? And by the way, hello, Tito. We missed you.
Hi, yes. Tito.
What is up? The IHP bids are back out to bid. They're doing the 20th.
Okay.
Woo, woo, woo,
yes.
You got this.
And it might be more in our favor this time.
Put pictures of the baby on the bid.
The whole
try and sway the bid. You know what I mean?
The whole bid or just the electric portion?
I think it's the whole thing. I'm not sure.
Do you on the 20th?
I think so.
Let Craig know.
It might be. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm just browsing through my emails.
And don't let. Never mind. That's an inside one. I can't say that one online.
Right.
I'm sure if the mechanical contractor reaches out to you guys,
right, more than likely. Yeah. We have a lot of IH.
Like a job loss on
four
the level.
Allergies.
Yeah. I know. That's what
we both. We
that's
both.
That's why I said. But I've been sick. Even I've been getting sick from.
Any
me.
Others?
You should hear us in the morning.
Hey, Mike.
Well, just don't forget to check.
I don't know the immune system. I don't know if I'm on the up or down.
Yes.
So I just,
and for Mary Jane, she's going to be traveling. Her and David. The family.
Yeah,
so
safe travels.
Safe travels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And get, you know, for Tina to hopefully get she's a, an appointment real soon.
Due on the 20th. Right, Jacob?
And I'm like,
yeah.
Yes. I did say for a month. He has a doctor's
appointment
on the 12th.
He said it
to himself. Hopefully everything will be, you know, this new doctor will, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. So he may bid it before the other guy.
I'm with you guys in spirit if you guys start praying.
Okay,
want to go to recipe? I know he's jealous.
It's a six to Baba. Yeah.
He's guarding.
Oh, then girls just work it out in the middle of public. It's not a big thing anymore.
Not with the first.
Oh, no.
One.
Oh, they just kind of now, they just, oh, that mouth did your heart. When she cries, I'm like, oh, you cry, that's wonderful. Any others? Oh, no. Well, good. Good. Mm. Is that good in the church? Said amen. Oh, baby says so. Yep.
All right, Sloan, we got it.
I pray for love.
Love? For you?
No, just overall.
Overall.
No, maybe I will be blessed. I love you, Trav.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,
we just thank you for the study, Lord. Thank you for every blessing that you poured out upon us, Lord. The baby with Jacob Ruthio's family, just everyone here, everyone in your spirit, Lord, everyone online, we thank you for it all, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this church and each and every life that's here online or here physically, Lord. We just thank you for everything, Lord. We ask that you would just have your presence over us as we go and finish off this week and go into next week, Lord. Just help us to stay in your presence and in your peace and comfort, Lord. And just be with us at all times, Lord. And we ask that you would just have your blessings over us as we go home. Keep us safe and in your care, Lord. And we ask that Orlando would be have a healthy body, Lord. I know she said he's going to the doctor's appointment, Lord, pretty soon. And Lord, we ask that you just have everything all clear, everything good, and he's healthy, just the physical stuff. Heal him from those too, Lord. Heal him entirely, Lord. Help that doctor's appointment show literally nothing wrong, Lord. And that he has the strength that he used to and the strength he needs, Lord. We ask your hand over Victoria, Calvin, and Callie, Lord. We ask that you would just have your blessings over them. Have them to have a house, Lord. Provide for the needs of your people, Lord. Help them to seek you and find you and just be with you at all times, Lord. We also ask that your hand would be over Roger, that he would find that person that's going to be able to take him to the doctor's appointment, Lord. And we just ask for your provision over all needs, Lord. We ask that you would have your hand over Memo. Keep him safe, Lord. And just help him, Lord. Heal his body, Lord. You could do all things, whether it's from during the doctors or if it's away from it, Lord. We just ask that you would heal him, Lord. We ask that you would give him strength, Lord. Give him a peace and a comfort, Lord. I know he's not worried about it, but there are times where people do get that way, Lord. The sickness gets to you or so forth. We just ask that you would keep him into your presence, Lord, at all times, Lord. Heal his body so he can enjoy this time, Lord.
and we ask that you would also give peace to his family, Lord. Help them to have understanding with everything he's going through, Lord. We ask your hand over Jacob's bids, Lord, just if this is what you brought, Lord, and if it's supposed to be in their hands, Lord, that you make all things possible and you make all things work, Lord. If it's meant to be in his hands, we ask that you would just give it to him, Lord. Help them do right by the bids. Help them to be truthful and honest and Christians that are there to work on this job, Lord, for the customer, Lord. We ask that those bids would just be in your hands, Lord, who they go to, that would just be provided for everything they do, Lord. We ask that you would have your hand over Mikey's friend Yvette, Lord, just heal her body, Lord, take away the sickness and give her strength each and every day, Lord. Help her to have your strength, Lord, at all times, and your peace and comfort so it doesn't get to your mind and weigh you down, Lord. We ask that you would have your hand over Mary as she travels, Lord. Keep her safe and in your care and help her to have a good time and just shine your light everywhere she goes, Lord. I know every time she's here, she's just a joy. She brings energy, Lord. Enough for all of us, surprisingly.
It's all the sugar.
But just help her to have a good time, Lord, and to share that life that you've given her to others, Lord. We ask your hand over Tina, Lord, that you would just bring up the appointments, Lord, that she does need, Lord. And if she doesn't need them, if you say she doesn't, Lord, then we ask that you would just heal her. Just have her to be healthy and strong and everything she needs, Lord. We just ask your hand over her life, Lord. What you say goes, Lord. We ask your hand over Holly, Lord, and the caregiving and everything she's doing, Lord. Just give her strength to get through it. And something you're teaching me, Lord, is help her find rest and comfort in you, Lord. Help her to be inside of your presence at all times, Lord, and to be at peace in all situations, Lord. And Lord, have everyone online to enjoy this week and help us all to take home this message, Lord. We ask this in your name. In your Jesus' name we say. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.